dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And welcome to Tuesday edition of the Doug and Danny Show right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Great to have you along with us. A great show for you lined up. Damon Day sitting in for Doug Duda, and don't think Doug is out prancing around vacationing, hitting a golf ball somewhere warm. He's at a funeral today, and our condolences first and foremost go out to the Klimek family in Orta. Steve, one of our friends from works down in Miska Sporting Goods, lost his father late last week, and certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the whole family and everything that's going on today. And I know Steve's brothers are back from Omaha, and his mom's in Ord, and we're thinking of them first and foremost today. That is where Doug is. Damon Day sets in for him, and it's great to have Damon on. Later in the show, Lance Creech, Hastings Broncos men's basketball coach, is set to join us, talk about how their season's going to this point. We're going to talk some Kansas State, Texas. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to talk whatever you want to talk. 1-888-455-3776 is the phone number to reach us, or shoot us an email at douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. That's douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Coach, you get to watch. Before we get to that, Derek celebrating a little bit before the show when the news was released last night and early this morning that Chan Gailey.
Isn't that bad that I'm celebrating the fact that the Bills hired Chan Gailey?
You said he's a winner.
He is a winner. Hey, he went 18-14 at his coaching stint with the Cowboys, and the Bills had Wade Phillips a while back. He had some winning seasons with Buffalo. Now he went to Dallas, is still winning, so maybe. Maybe Chan Gailey, who won at Dallas, can maybe come to Buffalo and give us... I want a winning season! I don't care. 9-7 would be fine with me. Just
I'm
win.
As a Browns fan, the Bills are going to be worse than us.
I know. I'm thinking, you heard all these names. Well, the Bills are talking with Mike Shanahan. The Bills are... They're talking with Bill Cowher, and I'm just going... They would be idiots to take that job. Buffalo is the place where coaches go to finish their careers, and I'm not talking in a good way.
Do you think when Cowher and Shanahan, names like that, jump, a quality name has proven himself, a proven commodity in the NFL, do you think the first thing they do is hit Google and go to 5-star restaurants, Buffalo?
After they look at the roster. I mean, those guys are all smart enough to realize, but then they got to go to...
What hotels...
There's 5-star restaurants in Buffalo.
Exactly, and when they don't find... I mean, so where do you guys eat up there on a Saturday night in February? Applebee's?
Bar food.
Yeah, it's a blue-collar town, man. You're not going to find a whole lot of...
I mean, sometimes we go crazy and go to Chili's.
They got quarter wings down. wings.
I mean, seriously, you yuck it up at TGI Fridays? Can you Google 5-star foods in Buffalo?
I'm on it.
There's got to be. I mean, Buffalo's a smaller metropolitan.
Yes, I'm sure there's a couple very fine quality restaurants. But when you're used to, even Pittsburgh, you're close to New York. You're close to Philly. You pop in people's
you're
jets.
On the Eastern Seaboard.
You're there. I mean, Shanahan. You're so Denver's.
Denver's
pretty,
got some really good places.
Yes,
to eat.
I would think that there's. Are there a lot of searches turn up for Buffalo?
Yeah, there's a couple coming up here. Look like they have some decent ones. Let's see here. The Shango Bistro and Wine Bar. That got 4.5, according to this site here. Louis Footlong Hot Dog. See, it gave Louis Footlong Hot Dogs 5 stars. So this is not a credible site. I'll keep looking here.
I just feel bad for Chan Gailey being the 15th choice. They talked to everyone.
But you had to hire...
They talked to everybody and then finally decided that he would be the one to, he the decided worst he's thing. The only one that would take it.
Yeah, and the worst thing about Buffalo is, you know, they're supposed to be parity in the NFL. That's what everybody talks about, parity in the NFL. Buffalo's starting to become one of these Division I college football teams that never win. I mean, literally, they're like Temple. They're getting to the point where they're just having losing season after losing season, mediocre, 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 never make the playoffs. I'm going to look, but I think they're one of only three teams in the NFL that have not made the playoffs since 2000.
I think the Browns have made the playoffs before the Bills have, and since the Browns have been back, they
Oh, yeah, the Browns would probably thrash the Bills at this point.
Now, Mangini stays with your Browns.
Yes, Mangini stays.
And you got Holmgren.
Well, I think it's a year thing. I think I'm hoping that maybe Holmgren will, in a year, realize that Mangini's not the guy. But you never know, man. They did win four games at the end of the year, so maybe the book on Mangini is it has taken some time for him to implement his system. But, you know, that's just the whole, you know, it just seems like in the NFL, it just seems like the guys with players, and I mean, it seems like coaching has a lot less to do with it than just your whole who you have. I mean, I think at the NFL level, coaches are obviously important, but I don't think they're as important as you say at the college level, you know, where you get some college coaches that can do.
But teams that have those stars, Damon, you've got Josh Cribbs, one of the most exciting playmakers really in all the NFL as right. far as the kicking game goes for certain. And
was finally successful once the defense finally stopped somebody so he could get the ball.
Yeah, and I think he probably would be a pretty good receiver if he had somebody to get him the ball at times.
Yeah. They got Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn is a quality.
You're still sold on Brady. No, you're not sold on Brady Quinn.
I'm not sold on Brady Quinn. I think that the offense in Cleveland is probably something that they definitely need to address. But, you know, you look at all these high-powered offenses, and at the end of the day, good defense stops good offense.
I mean, is it immediate for your Bills in this draft, or in your Browns in this draft, they got to get the offensive line fixed?
You know, they got Joe Thomas, who's a Pro Bowler again. I don't know where they go from there. I think they probably need to sit down and figure out what their vision is of their offense. Who are we going to be like? Are we going to be a Colts type? Are we going to be a Cowboys type? Are we going to be like the Eagles? Are we going to implement, like the Dolphins, more of a wildcat, two-quarterback type of thing with Cribs?
See, the Eagles have so many young playmakers.
I can't believe the Eagles are talking about getting rid of him to McNabb. Talking about trading them. They're waiting. I heard today, or actually I was reading it online last night, they were waiting today. They were talking today that they're waiting on Favre to decide what he's going to do because McNabb's going to go to Minnesota if Favre retires in a trade with the Eagles.
What I almost threw up in the corner when Damon just mentioned Favre and retire over here, by the way. If he holds the league hostage for one more offseason, I'm going to go throw up.
I'm with Derek on that, and I like to watch Brett Favre.
I don't anymore. I cannot stand watching Brett Favre after all the drama and everything else that he's just become a joke to me. I mean, granted, he's been successful. He's a great quarterback on the field, but the whole fighting with his coach and I mean the way he acted on things. I mean, Childress made his own bed. You don't go pick up a player at the airport if you're the head coach.
But as a coach, don't you like to see the competitive? You got a player that doesn't want to give you the ball when you go to the mound and say, I can finish this. I mean, isn't there a party that likes to see that out of a kid?
There's
a grown man in this case, 49 or whatever Brett Favre is.
I guess there's a time and a place for it, and you do like to see that competitiveness. But I'm a bigger guy about, well, then if you were so competitive, then you'd be doing better. You know, you'd be getting things done in a manner to which I'm not out here having to do this. If, you know, the only time I ever feel bad for a kid is when he hits his pitch count. And he wants to finish it. But we don't let him go past that pitch count. And granted, my pitchers don't know how to keep track of how many pitches are thrown. That's how come guys keep staying out there for a long time. But, you know, I just think that Brett Favre's become the epitome of what I hate about athletics as far as it's a me, me, me. It's all about Brett. And just his comments about how this is the greatest team he's ever played with. And just kind of turning his entire back on Green Bay when they embraced him when he was nothing coming from the Falcons. In this town, you know, Green Bay's kind of a smaller market type of thing. They embrace this
guy. When Don Majkowski was your quarterback?
Damon doesn't know how much I want to give him a man hug right now for that Brett Favre rant. I mean, love it.
Seriously, Favre, get over yourself. You're not that cool anyway. I mean.
Well, we've transitioned now to Minnesota, New Orleans.
Oh.
Offensive firepower galore, looks to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the playmakers both sides of the ball for Percy Harvin. You've got Reggie Bush, you know, that can return the kicks.
Do you have Reggie Bush, or did we just see the best of Reggie Bush ever?
Now, you know what? You waited all year to see that, and the Saints waited all year.
His whole career to see him do that.
You know, but he's still... He's a weapon that on those screen. You know, you throw the 33-yard screen pass, and he makes that first linebacker miss. Best of luck, fellas. Yep, best of luck getting him to the ground.
That was a run. I mean, that his run where he broke the two tackles and got back up the middle and the punt return. Nice effort by the kicker on the punt return. I think they should have. I think they should just allow 12 guys on the kicking team, and then the kicker, once he kicks it, runs off the field. That way, no one gets injured. But you know, I don't know. I think every time that you know you see Reggie Bush and Vince Young, I think every time as you get through another season. Granted, DeMario Williams didn't have a great year this year. I think it just makes Houston look that much smarter. Every season that goes by, it just keeps making Houston look better, and so. You know, I don't know. I mean, you would have thought that the way the Cowboys' offense was playing, that was going to be a shootout type of thing. So, I mean, I guess if New Orleans can handle the D-line of Minnesota, then it's going to be a good game. But, I mean...
How do you handle Jared Allen?
I don't know.
Don't let your left tackle get injured?
No. Yeah.
And you'll probably be all right?
Don't put a tight end on him. That didn't work.
Dallas had the backup left tackle. They had the tight end over there, and they'd stick a running back on that side to try to chip block him. Nothing was working.
But then Edwards, you know, you focus all your stuff on Allen, and then Edwards came from the other side, and now Edwards, I don't know, is he still doubtful or is he day to day with the knee injury? I mean, if he doesn't play, I think the tide turns definitely into New Orleans.
Well, you know, in that dome, one of the crazier places. You know, any dome can get crazy. But I still think you get the people down in New Orleans, and somehow they afford tickets, which I've never really understood yet. But they've got the tickets, and they've got their rainbows, and they've got their Mardi Gras beads, and they've got their... It's a different place. It's a different world once you step in there.
I thought that was interesting if you watched the Colts game, how sterile it is compared to watching a New Orleans game. I mean, I know you can't hear everything that goes on, but, you know, the Colts game was kind of, oh, no, touchdown, woohoo, golf clap. And in New Orleans, you got everyone just, you know, freaking out. They got beads being thrown everywhere. It's like a party.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I think the Colts Jets game is a better game from the standpoint of what's going to happen more so than. I think Minnesota and New Orleans is going to be a good game. I think that. You know, last weekend there were supposed to be good games. I mean, I think you picked, what, one blowout?
Yeah.
You picked one blowout and three close ones, and really there were four blowouts.
Yeah.
I guess the San Diego-New York Jets game was close, but really if you watched it, San Diego never really had a chance.
Well, not if you're going to kick the football like that.
Man. I mean, that's what I love is everyone's talking about how great New York is. Seriously, guys, if the 5'9" kicker does his job, New York's at home right now.
Yeah.
You know, Rex Ryan's talking about how they... You know, we got a swagger and we got all this. What, did you pay off the kicker?
It's a play, yeah.
It's a play here, it's a play there. It wasn't like it was a dominating.
You know, and I don't understand. It's a playoffs. Anything can happen. I'll give you it's a playoffs, but he hasn't done that all year long. How can it happen today?
Most accurate kicker in the NFL this season. And that's not his first time. I think in 2005 he missed one against.
I think you're right,
against
in the playoffs.
New England, he missed a big one against the playoffs.
I think that the Colts. They roll up the Jets, don't they?
Yeah.
I have Peyton just... The throws across the middle, whether it be to Colley, whether it, you know, Dallas Clark, when they need 3rd and 6, those Baltimore guys are running. They can't get close to their heels or they're going to take them down.
Oh.
The passes, the accuracy... Favre can throw a nice ball. Breeze throws a nice ball. But a lot of the times, they throw the thing as far as they can get it. Colston, Meacham, Rice, pick who you want, go up and make a play. They make a play on the football that's in the air. They adjust to it. Those 3rd and 6 rounds, nobody zips it. I mean, you need 3rd and 5, you get 5.5.
Yep.
And the guy's right there. There's nothing anybody can do about it with Peyton throwing the football.
Well, I think when they talk about, you know, Island Revis and, you know, Revis Island and all this stuff, I think this is, I think Peyton Manning's the one quarterback who, I don't think Revis neutralizes him. I think he neutralizes the effect that Revis is going to have. I think if you say, fine, you're going to take Reggie Wayne away from our game plan, I'll use a Dye, I'll use Collier, I'll use Garcon, you know, Dallas Clark, I'll use whoever I need to.
Well, and plus having Manning being that coach on the field, he knows. You know, there's some players I don't think immediately notice. They supposedly moved Revis all over the field. It wasn't just we're going to stop Vincent Jackson. He's on Gates at times. You know, go down Mount Floyd at times, go on down the list. I think Payton can realize that, and you can get huge mismatches going the other way, and he's going to find open receivers. I think that one's the game to me that I just say. I think the other one could be a shootout, go either way, come down to the end. I just think that home field is so huge for New England.
Early on in the betting week here, guys, Indianapolis opened as a 7-point favorite over the Jets. That line has moved to 7.5, 8 in one spot, and New Orleans, 3.5-point favorites is where it opened. That line has moved to 4 across the board.
People liking the favorites early in the week.
I think that's more. I think the Minnesota New Orleans one is just home field. Yeah. What do they say? Home field gets you 2, 2.5?
3 or 4, depending on.
Depending on where
if you're Buffalo in September, probably doesn't get you. I'm not picking on the Bills, but if you're.
Well, you can pick on the Bills. Everybody does. It's all right.
I mean, I'm saying if you're one of those lower tiered teams that. Maybe not.
I like how you put
all that raucous.
When the glory days were losing 4 straight Super Bowls, then yeah, you're not. Yeah. You can make fun of them.
Nonetheless, Lance Creech, the second half of the program. We'll be back with more, including Kansas State, Texas breakdown of Frank Martin. Who the hell's Frank Martin after this?
Hey, you smell smoke?
Yeah, it's my meat. Schroeder Smoked Foods.
It smells pretty good.
It is good.
Can I have a bite?
No.
Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Pulled pork, smoked beef, and pork loin. Stop into Schroeder Smoked Foods and dine on delicious barbecue. Or have Schroeder Smoked Foods cater your event. Pick it up. Or have us deliver mouth-watering barbecue to your special event. Online at SchroederSmokedFoods.com. On First Street, behind the First State Bank in Shelton. Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Where the fire never goes out.
It's that time of year again. Between January 11th and the 26th, AgWest Commodities invites you and your spouse to their Ag Outlook 2010. You can choose from 12 different locations, including Broken Bow, Holdridge, Columbus, Denison, Iowa, or any one of 8 more convenient locations. To reserve your place, call 866-WE-HEDGE or check out the schedule on all locations at the AgWest website, goagwest.com.
You gotta go agwest.com. Go AgWest.
Dealing with snow around your home requires an attack plan. The first part of that plan should be stocking up on snow tools. Shop Hardware Hank for a snow pusher and ice scraper from Garant. The snow pusher has a 26-inch poly blade and a 46-inch varnished wood handle. The ice scraper is one piece of forged construction with a 48-inch wood handle. Visit Hardware Hank and grab a few extra Garant snow pushers and ice scrapers just in case you have some helpers.
Get into the games with Charter. Live coverage with access to free HD channels and free on demand so you don't miss a second. High-speed internet streams all the action, and unlimited long-distance calling lets you celebrate. Watch, click, share, cheer with Charter. Lock in your price until 2012. Select bundle packages start at only $89.98 a month for 24 months. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER.
Limited time offer. 2-year service agreement required. Early termination fees apply. Standard rates apply after promotional period ends. Taxes, fees, installation, HD, and other equipment extra. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Off the throw, looking end zone, pumping, scrambling, rolling right, looking, throwing, touchdown!
The Survivors have a date with Destiny February 7th in South Florida for Super Bowl 44.
Slant up the middle, and it's tipped and intercepted by the deflection down the right sideline of the 40. He's at the 30, to the 20, 10, 5, touchdown!
We're talking football in the NFL Conference Championship
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal and the Law, downtown Kearney.
Areas of dense fog linger early on today. The skies otherwise stay cloudy with a slight chance of freezing drizzle developing with highs around 34. Southeast winds stay at 5 to 10. A winter weather advisory goes in effect this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 28.
Back to Doug and Daddy's show, Southern Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. We've got to go to the Dent Popper inbox. His delusional Husker fan has stepped in. And too much NFL talk, apparently, in that first segment. He says, okay, okay, and okay, boys. Enough small talk. Get back to talking about Husker football. I hear things are in the works to do a two-for-one with Boise State starting in 2015. Husker Red on the Smurf Turf. Thoughts? Future Husker schedules are looking a little tougher for the non-conference foes, such as Fresno State, Washington, UCLA, Southern Mississippi, Miami, and Tennessee. Well, I don't know about tougher, but better than New Mexico State. 88 days until kickoff. Yeah, thanks for that email. Yeah, you look up and down the future Nebraska schedules, and already done, Tennessee all the way till 2017, the only game on that schedule, but that's September 9th. You go back, 2016. See, here's a schedule that I could live with. Fresno State, Tennessee, Wyoming. You're going to get a win. I mean, the wins right now should obviously be Fresno State and Wyoming should be gifts. I mean, you're better than them, but they're quality names. That's what people want. I don't want to pay $60 to see South Dakota State. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry, Tom Osborne. You will not get my $60 to see South Dakota State. Now, if you're somebody that's never been to a game before, somebody that very seldom has an opportunity to buy tickets, somebody that usually, folks, if you're new to the Nebraska area, if you go down there, you can usually find a ticket around the stadium. Now, that's not always the case. Normally, it is the case. If you want to go to a Nebraska game and you don't have to pay $400, it's not like StubHub where you go down for the Nebraska South Dakota, you don't have to pay $430. That's just not the way it works. Somewhere, there's a face value. Normally, I think they get somewhere around face value. If you wait till a little bit after the game starts, I think they're less than face value. You can find tickets to a Nebraska football game. But if you don't want to bother and you have an opportunity to go and you've never been before, perfect. Go see South Dakota State. Enjoy the experience. Live it up in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm just saying, from my standpoint, you're not going to get my $60. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think if you look at that schedule, Tennessee was a lot more marketable with Kiffin than it is now. I mean, a lot of those teams, Fresno State struggled this year, Wyoming struggled. Or what, 6-6? Fresno State was what, 7-6, I believe. Tennessee was 7-6. That's what's tough about a Division I schedule is when they first started talking about Tennessee. I think that was the year Fulmer was coming off a second place finish in the SEC, and now we're talking 6 years out. We don't even know
right. How.
I mean, that's the one thing. But at least, like you said, you're bringing in schools with some tradition and some ability to be good. Arkansas State, South Dakota State, Nicholls State. Those are schools that have never had or never been part of
BC. Western Utah, Kentucky.
Western Kentucky, and then so on.
Yeah, I think next year Idaho raised some eyes with what they were able to do in the bowl game, going for Tulane, winning that. At Washington, Jake Locker, I think, excellent, excellent football game.
What Steve Sarkisian's done there. First year, I agree.
I mean, there's the one game that stands out to me, and that's South Dakota State. And I say, you know what, guys, South Dakota State, we appreciate you guys for entertaining this ass whooping. Here's a check for whatever you got to do.
But that'll fund South Dakota State's athletic department for the entire year.
Exactly. So. And plus, you're already paying them. I have no idea what they get. $500,000, something, for coming to Lincoln to get punched in the face. Right. They get something. They're not coming here to say, guys, we're here for you to beat us 70-3. That's not what they want. But delusional, I think you're on the right track. I think there are some names. 2 years from now, three big games. I think next year, two big games. Idaho, the Vandals, great. I'm all for that. I like seeing teams like that. They're 8-5 this year. Southern Miss, 8-5 this year. I don't like the Western Kentucky, don't like the South Dakota State. That's me. And Western Kentucky, say what you want. They were 0-12 this year. Tennessee beat them 63-7. Florida International beat them by 17. North Texas put 68 points on them. You know, Troy beat them by 20. Arkansas State beat them by 4, who Nebraska pasted early in the year. It just doesn't do much for you.
And I guess, but you also have to look at it from, if you try to look at it from the Nebraska football program standpoint, that schedule sets up just the way that they want it. I guess when you look at what they're trying to accomplish and what their goals are, there's a reason why they have the games laid out that the way that they are. And I mean, that's why they don't let fans decide the scheduling, because, you know, what, we'd probably roll in 5 top 10 teams in the preseason because that's who we want to see them play. But for what they're trying to accomplish in the Big 12 and whatnot, that schedule suits the coaching staff. I mean, it's probably a give and take when you get to that.
The Big 12's good enough. You don't need those non-conference.
You probably need one big one. You probably need one. I mean, that's the one thing
that would help
look at. If you look at, like, and I know Ohio State did well this year, but they've struggled in the past. But if you look at like a USC and Ohio State and Texas, they've played one top 10 team usually at the beginning of the year, and then they don't play anybody else. And it's worked for them to continually stay, even if they lose that big game, to rebound and get closer. I mean, if you look at it, if Ohio State doesn't lose to Purdue, they're probably up there near that one loss team. I mean, Cincinnati showed, granted. You know, yeah. I was excited to see the TCU talk and the Cincinnati talk finally end about how they're equal to the SEC, Big 12, and other places. I mean, Boise definitely made the argument, but definitely Cincinnati and them did not. So I think if you look at it from a coaching staff administration standpoint, you can't do anything in the first 3 weeks of the season that necessarily is going to put you behind the eight ball going into the conference run.
Yeah, you can be by a team like that and,
right.
and competing.
Right.
Head to the Dent Popper inbox here, guys. Dent Popper, home of the Arma Lining, downtown Kearney. Check them out. This comes from Aaron in Kearney. He says, "Hey, guys, welcome back, Damon. You think the Lions, Raiders, Browns, and Bills should hold a Final Four for the worst team in the NFL? Just a thought." And he goes on to say, "K-State is way better than people think. They play defense, offense, and can fast break you or slow you down and beat you up. I was very impressed with the basketball team last night." Kind of a hodgepodge of stuff here. He also goes on to say, "Last, can we please stop hearing about the hitting coach of the damn Cardinals? He's a hitting coach. Name 5 other hitting coaches in the league not named Don Mattingly. Daddy, that's for you, not Damon. Derek and I will be puking in the corner if I hear anything else about this liar. He's a lying jerk, and if you believe him, you're an idiot. P.S. Cowturd's the man, just like I've always said. Keep cheering for the Husker women. Aaron and Kearney."
Thanks for the email, Aaron. A lot of things to hit on there. Can you name 5 hitting coaches?
I could probably do that, but I don't think that should show just how...
I don't think we'd know any of them.
How much worthless information is in here?
You know, I think the worst thing is I could throw out 5 names, you know, and everyone would be like, "Oh, wow, he knows those 5." And they could be 5 made-up names. I mean, no one knows who the hitting coaches are except if you're Don Mattingly or Mark McGwire, unless your team's just not hitting and then you get fired. So I think that's definitely that's a good question, name 5 other hitting coaches. That'd be a good quiz question for
somebody. I do know Don Mattingly.
Yeah, Don Mattingly is the hitting coach.
Did you get to watch Kansas State Texas last night at all?
No, I am not. I'll be honest with you. I am not an avid hoops fan until March. Love it come March time. Love it come tournament time. Love seeing 18 to 22 year old young people throw it all out there. There's nothing better to me than March Madness. But to say I've watched it, I watch. Of course, you see it because you read about it today, the highlights and whatnot. I mean, ever since Beasley was at K-State, you've got to question Frank Martin. Frank Martin is the Big 12's equivalent of John Calipari.
I think you're starting to realize that, because the players he's got, Clemente's a special little guard out there running around. But those guys inside...
Samuels is pretty good.
The size and the speed to match up with Texas, it's almost to me becoming that Big East basketball with Pittsburgh and Syracuse, which, okay, if you're the team that advances and gets through, you're going to be tough to beat because... But if they don't call that, I'm just not, I don't like that. I don't understand. There were people going up in the lane, and literally with the chest, yeah, they're going straight up, but when your chest hits somebody and the player falls to the ground, that to me is a foul. No calls, and I don't know how
It's interesting to see that in what you're talking about in college basketball more so than anything. If you have a finesse reffing crew, it totally has a different effect in the game than the guys who are just like, let them bleed.
Night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day. And I think Texas is one of those teams. Well, Kansas with Aldrich, just Nebraska, they don't have that build of players yet. They got freshmen. Maybe in 2 years, maybe they put 30, 40 pounds on him. Maybe Diaz is one of those guys that can get in there and bang with those other guys. But it looked to me last night that it was so rough. I compared it. I was sitting there watching it and I thought, this looks exactly like Pittsburgh, UConn. UConn, Syracuse. That whole conference in which everybody's 6'8 to 6'11, everybody's 280 pounds. And no one gets out of bed for 2 days after the game because you just can't move. Then I don't think that's basketball. There's no perimeter game.
No, if you watch the UConn-Michigan game, it was all, you know, if you watch that type of base basketball with the Big Ten and the Big East, you know, it is a more, I think the whole college game, when you do watch it, has become more physical. And then you get to the tournament, and then it becomes Whistle City. So it's got to be tough for coaches and players to adjust to the referees. But I guess that's what you do the first 5-10 minutes is figure out what you can get away with and what you can't get away with.
And Daddy, you do a little reffing. Do you meet with the rest of the other officials that you're officiating with before the game and say, hey, we'll let them play a little bit. Hey, we'll call it a little tighter.
No, I think in that way we certainly don't. We referee a different level. We're not doing varsity,
right?
Or whatever.
But just just an official's insight.
But you set the tone early in the game. If somebody's out there, you know, Sean Collins. I just remember him against Nebraska coming down the floor, and Jeter I think's got the ball, and it's like, buddy, you got to get off him. He cannot advance the ball. That's a foul. And right away, if you don't call that, right there, I said, there's no chance Nebraska wins this ball game. We're one possession in. There's no way Nebraska has a chance to win this ball game. Because they will not allow. It just takes totally plays into Kansas' hands and against Nebraska's hands.
Do you think Nebraska ever becomes a factor in Big 12 college basketball? I mean, I'll admit, Doc Siler's brought some energy. He's brought an attitude. He's brought some notoriety to him. But do you feel that Nebraska is moving or inching their way to being relevant in the conversation of Big 12 basketball?
Well, yeah, they're inching their way because I think for the first time, you start to see the athleticism catch up. Where before you had, you know what, we were out working people, and that's the only way we were getting a win. But we were pretty much the Opie Taylors of the Big 12, and they were bigger, stronger, faster animals. Two totally different species on the planet. And I think finally you're starting to see a 6 foot, you know, Diaz, Stan Hardinger. I think they're going to get some Nebraska wins. They're that good. They're that talented athletically that finally Nebraska isn't going to have to spend 38 extra hours in the gym, isn't going to have to run harder and jump high. I mean, they've finally started to catch up athletically, and that's the first step. He didn't have the players when he got here.
What is this? What year is he in?
This would be year four, I believe. Year four, Doc Sadler.
So this is his first recruiting class.
But remember, you got Robert Sally that they didn't allow. The paperwork got messed up. You've got Neiman.
He's had some eligibility.
He's had some bad luck, really. I mean, he thinks he's getting them qualified. They think they're doing the right thing, and the NCAA punches them in the face.
Yeah. I know how that works.
You look. I'm just looking here at Frank Martin's bio. His alma mater's Florida International. He was an assistant for Bob Huggins.
Oh, that's where the connection is.
Yeah, he's Andy Kennedy. But you go back a ways. He spent 15 years. See, I don't know how Frank Martin's a very, very tan guy. I think tanning booths in Kansas State, Manhattan, appreciate that. Very tan man. But how old? He doesn't look. He spent 15 years as a high school coach, which automatically, you know, in the Miami area, which automatically would put him. You know, he's throwing a couple other jobs. I think that would put you at 55 or.
How old is he? He graduated in what, 93 from Florida International? Is that what it says?
Okay.
Is that what it is?
We go to the Den Popper inbox here, guys. Jordan and Carney knows about Frank Martin. He says, don't you guys know? Frank Martin is an ex-mob boss that got relocated for a protection program for snitching out other mob gangsters. Thanks, Jordan.
He does. He does look like a prototypical mobster. Not that there, you know, there is a little stereotype there with him. But, you know, it does make sense that he comes from the Bob Huggins school of coaching or that lineage. I mean, if you look at Bob Huggins and the type of athletes that he has and the type of athletes that he recruits, and then you have a Frank Martin with the Beasley situation and some of the other athletes.
Bill Walker.
That he's brought into Kansas State. There's definitely a lean more towards the John Calipari, Bob Huggins school than there is the Roy Williams, the stand-up guy type of coach. And I think that's what's interesting about college basketball more so than anything is there's just such a used car salesman street influence involved in college basketball because of the AAU stuff and all that stuff. That, I mean, you look at this guy's at a predominant state university, and there's been questions about his program and his recruits since he's gotten there. Obviously with the Beasley. I mean, granted, there's no USC with the OJ Mayo situation, but it's interesting to hear to see a program like a North Carolina or a Kansas that have really kind of seemed to do it one way, and then these other guys who kind of seem to do it in a different way.
See, his career took off in 1985 where he served as a head junior varsity coach and assistant varsity coach, Miami Senior High. During his eight-year stint with the Stingrays, he compiled a 140-30 record. 824 batting average there. Not too bad. We'll see if Lance Creech is batting 824 back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking to
newlyweds.
Hi. My husband and I are combining our policies, and my mother-in-law says we can save with Progressive.
Well, with online, homeowners, and multi-car discounts, saving on car insurance is easy.
So you're saying she's right?
I'm saying get used to it.
Get great savings and more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Discounts not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Prices after rebate, HD access and equipment required. Offers end 2-8-10. New customers only on approved credit. Credit card required if the condition supply. $100 back via DirecTV Visa prepaid card issued by Minivan. Pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc.
Hey, sports fans, get the most out of your flat screen with DirecTV. Watch 8 different sports channels at the same time. Live on your TV. Last chance to get over 150 channels for just $29.99 a month for a full year. Plus, ask about a free HD DVR upgrade. Call 888-DIRECTV. Last chance to get 2009 pricing plus $100 back. Call now. 888-DIRECTV.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA-eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Areas of dense fog linger early on today as skies otherwise stay cloudy with a slight chance of freezing drizzle developing with highs around 34. Southeast winds stay at 5 to 10. A winter weather advisory goes in effect this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 28.
Back, Doug and Daddy Show. Weather like this makes you think a little bit about skiing. Once you know Miska Sports in downtown Kearney Center has all the ski apparel, whether you're talking for your little ones, whether you're talking for you. Red Ledge ski coats, half off. That's 50% off, people. Red Ledge ski pants, they're on sale as well. They've got it all. Whether you're looking for stocking hats, whether you're looking for Columbia gloves, Nike, Adidas stocking caps, they've got it all. All the ski apparel you need for your spring break trip. Maybe you're heading out before that, do a little snowboarding. They've got it all for you. Miska Sports in the downtown Kearney Center. Oh, and a reminder, maybe you're switching gears and thinking about doing some jogging, getting ready for a track season, spring season coming up. All shoes are on sale. Miska Sports, downtown Kearney Center. Books have been around forever. They're going to continue to be around forever. More and more things on sale. But remember, Red Ledge Ski Coach, a half off. They'd love to have you stop down. Check out the selection at Miska Sports. Derek, we welcome to the show Lance Creech. He's the head coach of the Hastings Broncos basketball team. 15-5, 6-3 in the GPAC conference. They had a five-game win streak snapped on Saturday, looking to start a new one. Coach, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I appreciate it. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're all right today. Trying to get the sun to come back out.
Yeah, we're supposed to send our JV team on the road today, and I'm kind of contemplating what we should do here right now. It's pretty darn slick around here.
Coach, you bring up the JV team. They kind of fly off the radar a little bit, but really prepares those kids to play varsity down the road. How big is that to have a JV team?
Well, I think, the last few years especially, I think we've done a better job from trying to utilize that to get our kids some varsity or some just game experience. People like Dane Bacon, who a lot of Kearney people are familiar with, is done a very good job of just getting some practical game minutes as JV kids. When I first got here, we had so many kids in the program. We were up to 37 kids one year, one weekend we actually sent three teams on the road, a varsity and then two separate JV teams, to different classics early in November, and it just really wears on your staff. It wears on your kids because, kids want to compete and they want to get practical game minutes, and when you've got 17 or 18 kids on a junior varsity team, there's just not enough minutes to go around. And plus, I think your younger kids who you expect to kind of help you at the varsity level, they just don't get a lot of time because there's not minutes available in the varsity games. And if they're not playing quality JV minutes, it does hurt the development of your program with your younger kids.
Coach, it looks like Saturday night Dort got up early, and then maybe their defense did some different things with you. Looks like when you were winning, you guys were scoring quite a few more points than you were able to get on Saturday.
Well, they were really good in transition. I mean, they found Wade Vaughns and Derek Fletcher early in transition, and they kind of manned them up early, and it was very difficult for us to get them quality looks at the hoop. And when we did, we just took too many contested shots, and as I told our guys, on film yesterday, I showed the first two clips of our first two offensive clips, which were contested jump shots, and I showed Dort's first two offensive clips were layups, and I knew that the tone of the game had been set, and sometimes it's very hard to respond. And we tied it up two different times under 4 minutes to go in the game, and Dort, their record isn't great, but they've played one of the tougher schedules in our conference, especially in the conference. They've played all those northern teams, and the northern typically is a little bit tougher than the southern part of our league, especially when you have to face them night in, night out. Dort was ranked as high as number 4 in the country about 4 or 5 weeks ago, so it's not like they're a bad team or anything, and they were kind of about on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and they were kind of grabbing at anything they could, and they just got us on a night. We didn't shoot particularly well, and they out-rebounded us, and we did not pass the ball very well, and it just kind of a culmination of things, but they definitely took one from us.
Lance Creech joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, was it a deal where you guys were behind and it just took so much energy once you finally did tie the game, just could never get over that hump?
No, I think it was, as we tried to point out again yesterday in film, it was our positive possessions were too far, and they just were not enough of them consecutively to make a strong run. Our runs were 2 and 4 points, where their runs were 7 and 8 points, and especially when you're trying to play from behind, we had a couple stretches there in about the last 5 or 6 minutes of the entire game, in which we, you know, and probably you might be right on there, that we exerted so much energy to get it back to tide. It was our mental focus, I think, more than anything that slipped. And a lot of times, you know, the longer I'm in this thing, the more I understand some of the harder things to do is when your team's really winning a lot of games, and we were on a 5 or 6 game win streak, and we'd been making the same mistakes, but we had been making the same mistakes against teams that maybe were not as athletic or not as talented as we were. And it's hard to catch a team's attention when things are going well. You know, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, and I think that kind of happened to us a little bit. We got a little bit complacent and a little bit of, you know, coach doesn't know maybe what he's talking about, or we're going to be okay. We can make an adjustment here or there. And when you face somebody that's either your equal or maybe even a little bit better or more athletic, those things kind of creep up and bite you in the backside, and that's about exactly what happened to us on Saturday.
Coach, we talked about this before we got you on the phone, and I don't know if you guys see the Kansas State and Texas game, but it looked to me like it just so physically rough. Are there games in the GPAC that are officiated totally different than you see the night before?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's a great point. In years past, the southern part of our league was a lot more physical than the northern part, and you saw that in just the type of athlete that you were playing, and that's kind of what changed our philosophy here the last couple of years in recruiting, and we're able to maybe get up and down and score more points. You go up north, and it's a little bit more of a finesse game, and it's a little bit more touch here and there, and you don't see a lot of the southern officials going up north to officiate, so it's never a problem, and nor do you see it, you know, on the other side where the northern guys come down here to officiate. So a lot of times, you know, a couple years ago when we had that pretty good team, we were big and strong and physical. I mean, our 6'5 guys were like 225, 230, and we'd go up north and we couldn't even get close enough to catch them because we were too slow. But when we got them down here on our home court, we could bang them around a little bit and we could be more physical, and you kind of take the fast out of the game a little bit. And anymore, it's kind of flip-flopped. I think teams on the southern part of our league are becoming a little bit more longer and leaner and a little bit more fast to try and compete with those teams up north. And the games are officially a little bit different. We're not nearly, I don't think, in the last 5 years, we're not nearly as physical as we were my first couple years in the league, from just bumping cutters and letting you get by with hand checks and all that kind of thing. I think the style of play in our entire league has changed so much, but I know when we go and face some Division II opponents, some fouls that have been called, you know, in league play just are not fouls anymore, and it does, you know, the higher level becomes a very, very much more of a physical type game.
Is it just well known out there you've got to have a chiropractor on staff? And I mean, it just seems to me that's not basketball when kids can't get out of... I mean, it's one thing to not be able to get out of bed on a Sunday morning during football season.
Right.
But on a Wednesday morning after a Tuesday night game, when a kid's missing class because he's too damn sore, that's just not basketball to me, Coach.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and I think, one proponent of that is Coach Wooden has been... You know, howling about that for many years. You know, just I think the physical stature, the players in which are playing the game in this day and age, and the influence of weight training and all those different kinds of things, and just the physical size has led to a lot more physical game. And I don't know if it's a better game. And I think you're right that sometimes, there are certain officials that are really just going to absolutely let you play, and whether it's a chiropractor, sometimes you need a corner man like you would have in a boxing match, you know, in your bench, because it does get very physical. And I don't know what the answer is, because the court's not getting any bigger and the rim's not getting any higher, but the players are sure getting a lot bigger, more explosive, and there's just less room for those big bodies to bang around. So I think that, you know, that alludes to some of it too.
Hastings College men's basketball coach Lance Creech joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Lance, in following you guys, one name seems to lead to scoring an awful lot this year. It's been Wade Vaughn. So you know he was going to be a quality player for you when you got him to transfer over there. But does it surprise you what he's been able to do?
You know, it does and it doesn't. I mean, the thing that I've been so pleased with Wade is just the evolution of his game. And when he came in, he was predominantly just a shooter. Something in a scouting report that we would call a dead three, which is just 75% of his shots are going to come from three-point range, and that's about it. And the longer, you know, he's played and the more comfortable he is with our program and all those kinds of things, he's much more of a driver. He's probably our best post-up player. mean, he is just a beast down on the low block, and he is so physically strong. And he's, you know, you go in the weight room, and you wouldn't think he's that strong, but he's one of those kids that could just choke a cow, you know. He just really has done a very good job of continuing to expand his game. And the thing that I've noticed more so than any is just this season in particular. He is, a lot of times when you get seniors, they kind of, I don't want to say cash it in, but they kind of quit challenging themselves and they quit trying to develop their game. And Wade's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum this year. Boy, he has seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and that he's kind of playing as if he doesn't want his senior year to ever end. And he has really become a very good defender in a lot of areas, and he's a great free throw shooter. He's a good ball handler, and there's just not many things that Wade cannot do. And he's been a true blessing for our program. He's a joy to coach, no question.
Lance, you get Nebraska Wesleyan at home tomorrow night before you go on the road for three. Talk about Wesleyan and what they bring to the table.
Well, Wesleyan's a very good defensive team, you know, and I think Wesleyan's a little bit of a team of their circumstance, being the only NCAA Division III team in our conference. They are restricted by NCAA rules, which they cannot start practice until a couple weeks after, you know, the other schools in our league. They can't start their game schedule until a couple weeks after. So the last time that we played Wesleyan was their third game of the season, and it was at their place, and we snuck one out by four. And, you know, they are very good defensively. They're very physical with you. They're very deliberate on offense, but they're very high percentage oriented. You know, sometimes I think they'd rather take a shot clock violation than force a bad shot, which, you know, in theory maybe isn't a bad thing to do, but they are very deliberate. They're well coached. They're very disciplined, and they just such a different style than most of the other teams that we see in our league. And the thing that impressed me, last night I went over and watched them. They had a makeup game against Midland Lutheran, and they were down 9.5, and they ended up winning the game by one, and they never hit the panic button. They just stayed consistent with what they were doing, and they just find a way to kind of grind things out. They did have a big win at Northwestern last Saturday, which is a very, very tough place to win, and they won by 10 and scored 81 points. So I think they've shown that they can, you know, kind of break the mold a little bit, get up and down the floor and score some points and play even a better style of play, maybe a little bit more conducive to what we would want to do. But again, I think Coach Shuknick has done a very good job over there, and especially with the restrictions that he's been put under.
Coach, appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and keep piling up the wins.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Lance Creech, Hastings men's basketball coach. Always great to catch up with Coach Creech. They're 15-5, 6-3 in the GPAC, and getting tomorrow night at home versus Nebraska Wesleyan. We need to take a break and wrap things up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
What do a soldier's mom and an award-winning artist have in common? Like over a million Americans, both used LegalZoom for their important legal documents. From wills to living trusts to incorporations, make a New Year's resolution to save time and money on virtually all your legal documents at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. And for even more savings, enter ESPN in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
And now for your halftime entertainment, the Tabasco Singing Pepperoni.
It's a magical concoction that's more than just heat. Tabasco blends with cheese and all your toppings and meat.
Shake, 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 shake.
Others mask the flavor. This sauce amplifies our two. Make sure you try Tabasco on your pizza real soon. So much more than hot.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Skip pass knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
Throws up the floater, and it goes at the shot clock.
And Ravenna 45, Aquinas 40.
Tough times, you may fall, but you got to keep giving it your all. Oh, yeah.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Sir, what are you doing with that crayon?
Making our brochure. We're way behind schedule.
I've got a better idea. Let's call Copycat Printing.
Copycat Printing?
They're more than just copies. They're a full-service commercial printer and design staff. From wedding invitations to business printing, Copycat Printing can help you come up with ideas to make you stand out in the crowd.
So you don't like my stick figures?
Not so much. Copycat Printing at 21st and Avenue A across from Chicken Coop in Kearney. Online at kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Areas of dense fog linger early on today as skies otherwise stay cloudy with a slight chance of freezing drizzle developing with highs around 34. Southeast winds stay at 5 to 10. A winter weather advisory goes in effect this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 28.
Our back Doug and Daddy show, taking you to the lunch hour here. 1416 Kearney, 1550, our friends in Hastings. Mark chimes in and says, love the Daddy and Dave show. Get him in as much as you can. Hey, Mark.
That's Mark's my super fan.
Mark's, that's one of the first intelligent things he's had to say in a long time. Thanks, Mark.
Come on, man. Stay off the fan club.
Luke chimes in and says, Daddy, what are you talking about? Brian Conklin was a physical specimen. I'd say he is the opposite of Opie. If anybody from the past was cut from the LeBron James physicality mold, it was Brian Conklin. The man was a beast.
We looked up a picture of Brian Conklin. Yeah,
all 6'11", 109 pounds of Brian Conklin. He was near LeBron James. We appreciate that, Luke.
Hey, he did get a Big 12 honor, though, on the academic team.
Yes, that would be, yes.
Speaking of LeBron James, how big of a man is he?
That guy does stuff on the court that it's just amazing. He'll bring the ball all the way up the court and then dunk it on two people and make it look like he can do it every
NBA,
time.
I hate watching NBA basketball, but I will stop the channel clicking to watch him.
He is, and that's something to say for a lot of people who aren't NBA fans. If they can tune in and watch somebody like LeBron James, it could bring us back to the glory days of the 80s when a lot of people watched because you had the Michael Jordans, the Larry Birds, the Magic Johnsons.
Now back then, I was huge.
See,
Larry Legend. Bring the Birdman, 33 for the Celts. Bring some guys like him back in Magic, then maybe people will watch. But now it's just it's not even basketball.
Travel fest.
I don't even know what you would. There's no skill. I guess there's skill involved, but there's not. It doesn't seem to be.
Nah.
There's not much poetry in motion anymore, like it was with
I would disagree though and say in the last 2 years there's more athleticism that's been brought to the NBA. You know, Nate Robinson last night, just watching highlights, the little guy that won the slam dunk contest a year ago, they threw him an alley-oop in which he just went, oh my gosh, I would pay to watch that.
I remember, if you remember, when he was in college, he played for Washington. He was doing that in college as well, and boy, that was impressive.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible.
And see him do it in the league as well. But if you look, you had that core group of players back in the 80s that made the NBA so popular. You could make an argument that there's a similar type of core group of players today with LeBron, with Kobe, Dwayne Wade. You got Dirk Nowitzki, who's a pure shooter. I mean, a lot of good players now, but I think it's sometimes the gameplay turns people off to it. The flashiness,
the gun charges.
Yes, I don't want to say thug league about it, but the fact that there's, you know, guys. There's a lot of troublemakers in the league. A lot of guys that get written up for charges throughout the season, and it's just, if we could get rid of some of that, I think we could have a return to what we had in the 80s.
How about Vincent Jackson getting cuffed and stuffed in a San Diego police car before the game? Ryan Leaf had to go get him. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, when Ryan Leaf had to come. That's
or not Ryan Leaf, Phil Rivers. The reason why I say Ryan Leaf, I was reading an article. You know what Ryan Leaf's doing nowadays?
He's a quarterback coach in Texas, isn't he?
No, he got arrested for burglary and assault charges.
Wow.
Yeah, broke into somebody's house. And people, I can honestly remember when they were talking about people taking him over Peyton Manning. There were GMs and scouts and all the talking heads at ESPN were like, Ryan Leaf's going to be a better pro.
Yeah, that was a legitimate conversation for like a month.
With why you would take Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf.
Damon, I understand. I understand all the debate. And I understand there's some debate about what people are doing this weekend. But on Saturday night, what would you like to see people do?
Thank you, Daddy. We have our annual Upper Deck Club banquet going on this Saturday at the Holiday Inn, starting at 5. Tickets are still available at lopers.com, or you can just give our office a call. And we'd love to have some people out. It's a great fundraiser for us as well as a great opportunity for us to kind of get our season kicked off. I know a day like today does not necessarily make you think of fly balls and hot dogs and good music and being out at the ballpark, but it is around the corner. We are less than, I think we're, what, 2 weeks away? 2.5 weeks away from first pitch. So please get in contact with us if you can make it. It's, again, it's Saturday night at 5 down at the Holiday Inn. And so it's our annual Upper Deck Club banquet.
I know we got to get out of here, Derek Sam, but you've been to a lot of ballparks, Major League and whatnot. Who's got the best wiener?
Oh, I'd have to say the Dodger Dog in Los Angeles.
Dodger Dog.
Got to
huh?
go with it. It was quite tasty.
Fair enough. Yankee Stadium? No, not so much.
I don't even know if I had a dog there because I think they're like $17.50 per hot dog. And that wasn't with the bun.
Yeah. You want a bun, it's $19.
Yeah, they got to pay those contracts one way or another.
Exactly.
Hey, we want to thank Damon Day for joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We also want to thank Lance Creech, Hastings College men's basketball coach as well. We want to thank you for joining us, too. We'll see you tomorrow, 23 hours from now, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 on your AM dial in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in Hastings. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!